let's go to the word of the Lord today. I actually go to John 14 if you have your Bibles. I actually had something different to preach today. But I woke up yesterday morning feeling very strongly compelled to go in a different direction. And that doesn't happen very often. So that tells me that there's somebody or a group of somebodies that the Lord specifically wants to encourage today. Amen. And I hope you're one of those people. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. And I grew up hearing those verses in the King James Version. It's more familiar to me. John chapter 14, verse 18 from the King James says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I want to preach today about the Comforter. The Comforter. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. I pray the Word of God would do the work that you've come to do in our hearts. We submit ourselves to you and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are only 11 days from Christmas. So you better start shopping. Amen. Cash and gift cards work great for me, by the way. No, I'm kidding. Christmas is right around the corner. And for most people, Christmas arrives wrapped in lights and decorations and gifts and joy. We're surrounded by all the festivities and all the sights and the sounds of the season. And for most people, Christmas really is, like the song says, the most wonderful time of the year. Amen? But for others, the seasons of Thanksgiving and Christmas, can you bring me that cough drop, please, Robin? No matter how hard they try to be happy, this time of year comes with an ache. It's whether it's the empty chair or the quiet house. Maybe I already ate them all. Memories that surface when the rest of the world is rejoicing, right? Grief and sadness. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Oh, here we go. Now, with a cough drop, especially when it comes from somebody else, you always wonder when you start unwrapping it, is this going to be one of those that pops right out of the paper, or do I just have to eat the paper and everything? Hey, at least that one still has this one's still fresh. He said he gave me the one with the paper on it. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Amen. But you know, this time of year, guys, it's hard for a lot of people. Memories that surface while the rest of the world's rejoicing. Grief and sadness are amplified during the holidays. Loss feels sharper. Loneliness feels even more isolating. The quiet is not quiet anymore. It's just a deafening silence. See, the Bible tells us that from the beginning to the end, about a world that has always known darkness and sorrow. The Bible was written to and by people who lived under oppression, people who were weary and waiting. But into that painful season, God didn't send a lecture. He didn't just send another shouting prophet. He sent a child. Amen. Jesus came to give us hope and to give us purpose and to give us eternal life. And for this, we're most thankful. Amen? And while Jesus was on earth, he was a comfort and a strength to the people around him in his physical form. Everywhere Jesus went, he touched hearts, he touched lives, he was healing the sick, he was encouraging people, he was inspiring them with his wisdom, he was touching them with his love. But it was not in the plan of God that Jesus would remain in that state of humanity permanently. Eventually, he would die on a cross in order to purchase our redemption. But thank God, He rose from the dead, and we are free indeed. Amen? But Jesus announced even to his disciples that he would be leaving, but and that they would not be alone. Afterward, he said he was going to send the Comforter to them. The Comforter is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Not only did he say he was going to comfort them, but he said that as the Spirit would come to them, the Spirit would continue to lead them and guide them into all truth. And through the Holy Spirit, they were going to be able to enter into a new dimension in their relationship with God. As Jesus ate his last Passover supper with the disciples, he prepared them for his departure. In the book of John, John's account said, Christ said to them he was going to go to prepare a place for them, but he would come again. But in that meantime, they were to keep his commandments. And the disciples were privileged to observe Jesus daily as he ministered to the multitudes. But the hour now was fast approaching that he would leave them. But he wasn't going to leave them completely alone. He was going to send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. Jesus knew that his departure would be a great loss to his followers if they did not understand what this next phase was in the plan of God. So in order to put their minds at ease, he told them in John 14, 16, I will pray the Father and he will give you another Comforter. He even went on in verse 26 of John 14 to describe what that Comforter was. The Comforter is the Holy Ghost. Amen. That word Comforter is translated from the Greek word parakletos, which literally means called to one side, or in other words, to one's aid. In the legal sense, the word means an advocate or an intercessor. It also means comforter or helper. Many of your Bibles even use that word advocate instead of comforter. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 says, My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Jesus referred to the coming Holy Spirit as allos parakletos, another comforter. In other words, he was implying that he himself was that first comforter. Amen. But he said, there's another comforter coming to you. After my earthly ministry is over, another comforter is going to come. John 14, 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. In the New King James, it says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit. In the NIV, it says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit. Comforter, helper, advocate. Essentially, that word comforter indicates a very specific or certain aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. He is the peace of Christ. As a matter of fact, that next verse, after Jesus just told them the comforter is going to come, which is the Holy Ghost, here's what Jesus says in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. See, the Lord knew that each generation of disciples would live in a troubled world until he returned. But he does not want us to be so troubled or to live in fear and grief and sadness without his peace and without his comfort. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:22 that Jesus committed no sin. Therefore, he alone is worthy of the title Prince of Peace. He alone made peace with God through his shed blood on the cross for all who believe. Paul declared in Ephesians 2:14, he is our peace. Amen. So Jesus, before he was going to be crucified, he prepared his disciples and he told them in John 16 and 7, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Notice Jesus is saying, look, guys, this is something that I have to do. I have to go away. And if I don't, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. The Comforter is present in God's people throughout all of our human experience. But Jesus said in John 14, 17, he dwells with you, but he is going to be in you. Hallelujah. See, when a sinner is converted, the Comforter is present in him. When a person worships and prays, the Comforter is there. Come on. When somebody fails God or gets discouraged, guess what? The Comforter doesn't kick you to the curb. He doesn't forsake you. The Comforter embraces you and strengthens you. The Comforter is a witness at the wedding of every Christian couple. The Comforter is present when their first child is born. And Alex, I know what you're looking forward to in 2026. Where are you at? There he is. And he welcomes them into the family. The Comforter is with you when you go to work on your job. The Comforter is with you whether you're working at home or in the workforce or working to raise your children. The Comforter is with you. He's in the school with your kids. Come on, the Comforter stands beside you at the graveside when you bury a loved one. The Comforter holds your hand when you're alone in your house grieving someone that has moved on into eternity. The Comforter is there when a relationship falls apart and you don't know what to do. The Comforter's right there. He's there. John saw a new heaven and a new earth in his vision of the end times. And he heard a voice saying in Revelation 21 and 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. And he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. See, God is with his people. He doesn't just save us from a distance, but he walks with us. And he's going to be there with us all the way until eternity. And then in the very next verse, you know what he says about eternity? God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. All of our present painful, sorrowful experiences will have served their purpose when we all get to heaven. Amen. They will have no part of our lives in that new creation when the people of God stand together glorified in his presence forever and ever more. There's so many things that the Comforter does for us that I could talk to you about this morning. He guides us and he teaches us. He leads us into all truth. He helps us to understand the scripture and the principles of God's word. He strengthens us and supports us. Our life burdens. He calms our fears. He provides strength to face hardships and temptations. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us in prayer. Amen? The Comforter helps us pray when we don't know how to pray. The Bible says in Romans 8, 26, he intercedes for us with deep groans. The Comforter acts as our advocate, pleading our case and granting mercy to us. The Comforter reveals Christ to us. He testifies to us about Jesus. He convinces people of his divinity and gives glory to him. The Comforter empowers us with gifts. He gives believers spiritual gifts and functions in the body of Christ and empowers us for worship and service. The Comforter brings conviction. Amen. Lovingly convicting us of our sin, but drawing us toward him, toward repentance and salvation. So many things that he does. But what are some of the things that the Comforter can do for you when you're hurting or in need of encouragement? That's what my message is for you today. Three quick things I want to share for you if in this season you're hurting or discouraged. Are you ready? How does the Comforter help us? Number one, the Comforter understands our pain. And by the way, if you say, well, I don't really need this message today, I'm not hurting, well, you will be one day. The Comforter understands our pain. The Comforter, who's also our counselor, according to Isaiah 9 and 6, listens to us. When Scripture called Jesus our wonderful counselor, it tells us that God is not detached from our grief. Hear me, the Comforter understands your pain. Jesus gets it. Jesus understands sorrow on a personal level. He wept at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. Jesus knows what it means to experience abandonment. Jesus knows what it means to experience betrayal. He knows what it means to be misunderstood. In Isaiah 53 and verse 3, he was described as a man of sorrows, don't miss this part, acquainted with grief. Your Savior, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. For those grieving at Christmas, that matters. So you're not bringing your pain to someone who only knows pain from a theoretical standpoint. You're bringing it to someone who's walked through it himself. See, many of you know the pain of loss. Just 2 weeks ago, I don't know if she's in the room or not, one of our members of our church lost her husband. You know what? The Holy Spirit is now standing beside her as her comforter. Amen? Because Jesus is acquainted with our grief. Last Saturday night, my brother-in-law passed away, and we buried him this week. You can sit on my sister's front porch right now, and you can see my brother-in-law's grave on the side of the mountain in front of her house. His grave is right under my father's grave. And I can only imagine the pain that our sister in our church is feeling today, having lost her husband 2 weeks ago, or the pain that my biological sister is feeling right now today. Her and my brother-in-law watched our services every Sunday. So more than likely, she's watching our service right now for the first time alone. But not alone. Because the Comforter is there with her. See, to those of you who are in this room or maybe even watching online, I want you to know the Comforter knows your pain too. Maybe you didn't bury your spouse this week, but you buried a spouse or a child years ago, and the pain is still very real, especially this time of year. I had someone come up to me after the first service, and I won't say what happened, but they told me about something very tragic that happened in their family around this time of year, several years ago, and every year they feel the trauma of that pain at this time of year. See, it's very real. You may not be feeling the pain of death that you're dealing with, but maybe right now you're dealing with the pain of watching someone you love battle sickness. Or the pain of a damaged relationship that you're praying for God to help there be restoration. Or maybe you're just dealing with the pain of a confusing season. The Lord wanted me to tell you today that He knows and He cares and He loves you. Even when we don't understand His plan. See, some of you have experienced or are experiencing right now another kind of pain as real as death, and sometimes even worse than death. That's the pain of divorce or marital stress. Maybe the person you love didn't die, but your marriage did. I want to tell you, it's okay to grieve. It's also okay to know that the Holy Spirit is with you and He has not abandoned you. Come on. Jesus, our Comforter, He does not rush your grief. He does not shame your tears. Amen? Don't let anybody else ever do that to you either, amen? Oh, you should be over this right now. No, no, no. You should be over it when you're over it, amen? You and the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, can take that journey together. I shared a quote at my brother-in-law's funeral on Wednesday, but I feel like I'm supposed to share it again right now for someone listening. And I've never shared a funeral quote in a sermon, but somebody needs to hear this. Dr. Colin Parks said, "The pain of grief is just as much a part of life as the joy of love. It is perhaps the price we pay for love, the cost of commitment." Folks, that's powerful. Hear me. Grief is the price that we pay for love. If you've loved deeply, you're going to probably grieve deeply. But it's a price that's worth paying to have loved someone and to have someone in your life. Amen. I want you to draw strength from that today. Matthew 5 and verse 4 says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." At Christmas, when memories and emotions overwhelm us, Christ comforts us and reminds us that this moment of sorrow is not the end of your story. The Comforter understands your pain. Number two, the Comforter will guide us if we'll allow him to. The things of the Spirit could not be grasped by the apostles before they received the Holy Spirit because they were only, Paul said, natural men. Here's what Paul actually said about this. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. By the way, this is some of your, why some of your friends that are not believers look at you crazy when you start getting excited about God. Like, I don't understand. No, it says they consider them foolishness. They cannot understand them. Look at the word of the Lord. Because they are discerned only through the Spirit. See, there are some things that you just cannot understand or appreciate without the Spirit of God being in your life. Amen? Paul even said others consider it foolishness. For example, celebrating the life of someone who died when you're supposed to be grieving, but you're not grieving as someone without hope. The Bible says it's foolishness to the world, but comfort comes to us because we have the Holy Spirit and we know that there's an eternity on the other side of this life. That this life is just a dress rehearsal, amen. You need to get ready for what's on the other side. That's why the Bible says that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. Because now they get to be with him forever, amen. Tithing faithfully, giving offerings, when there's so many other things that you can do with your money. It's foolishness to the world, right? Why though in the world are you giving that church 10%? Amen. But God's economics make great sense to people who have the Holy Spirit and who have walked the walk and know the testimonies of the faithfulness of God, that when you take care of his house, he takes care of your house. Amen. Praying and worshiping to a God that you cannot see is foolishness to the world. But to those who feel his presence and his comfort and his assurances, when we come into this house and we begin to lift our hands and we begin to feel the presence of God, amen, the Comforter makes sense to us. See, a life filled and full of the Holy Spirit is what the Comforter can provide to us. Wisdom, guidance, when we're not sure what the next step should be, that's what the Comforter can give to us. If you need direction in your life, guess what? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, can give that to you. He can guide you, the Scripture says, into all truth. Where should I work? What should I do? Ask the Comforter. How do I manage my money? Ask the Comforter. Ask the Spirit. Where should I send my kids to school? Pray and get directed by the Holy Spirit. What about these relationships? Should I encourage this relationship or should I walk away from this one? The Comforter will guide you. When you obey his commandments and submit to his word and to his will, the Comforter will guide you. And my last point, the Comforter helps us carry our burden. Isaiah 9 and 6 says, the government rests on his shoulders. Can somebody say, thank God in 2025, the government is on his shoulders, amen? See, that image reminds us, Jesus can bear the weight. Jesus can handle it. The heavy responsibilities, the overwhelming burdens, the confusing situations, Jesus has it. He's got you. How many of you have ever needed the burden bearer to help you carry your load? Because grief is heavy. It exhausts the soul. Financial pressures can feel like a weight around your neck, choking the very life out of you, right? Heavy, consuming, scary. A bad diagnosis from the doctor can throw fear into your life and can upend everything about your plan for life. A sick loved one or someone that you care for. It's a load, by the way, that you don't understand unless you've been there. Even at Christmas, and I love Christmas, the expectations can feel unbearable. Yet Jesus invites us, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't promise to erase the pain, but he promises his presence and strength to help you carry the load. Amen? He provides presence. He provides peace. He replaces feelings of being alone with a sense of his presence. Replacing worry with peace and hope. Replacing dread and fear with faith and confidence. That, Lord, I may not know the answer, but I know it's going to be all right because I know you're here with me. I want the praise team and the musicians to come. If this Christmas season finds you hurting, know this. You are not forgotten. You are not alone. The child born in Bethlehem is your comforter, listening, guiding, and strengthening you. You may not feel happy. You may not even feel joyful, and that's all right. Christmas is not about pretending that everything is okay. It's about trusting that God has come to help us right where we truly are. Can you say amen? For generations in the Old Testament, there was a faithful remnant of people who looked for the coming Messiah. And ultimately, they were not disappointed. Galatians 4 and 4 says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. But see, for some of us, that's the challenge. We want something, but the fullness of time has not come yet. But when the fullness of time comes, God answers. And right before he was to die, he told the apostles that he had to go away. But afterward, he was going to send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. God, who became flesh as Jesus. That generation that actually walked with Jesus, they were so blessed. He taught truth. He performed the miraculous. He proved his deity over and over again. But he said, guys, I got to go away. But good news, I'm sending my Spirit. I'm sending the Comforter. And this Comforter is not just going to abide with you, but I'm going to be in you. And I'm going to guide you into all truth. That message that Peter preached in Jerusalem after the ascension of Jesus in Acts chapter 2 was the first message of salvation that was preached in the church age. Read Acts chapter 2. He began to tell them about Christ crucified. He began to tell them about who Jesus was. He began to tell them about how that he was resurrected. And he laid the blame of his death right at their feet. And they were convicted of their sins. And they asked Peter, they said, what shall we do? And then Peter responded to them in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And he replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. When you believe and you repent, that's the beginning of your walk with Jesus. It's not just about repeating the words of a prayer, but when you honestly humble yourself before the Lord and you invite him in and you repent and you say, God, change my life. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you. That's where it all begins. Amen. How many of you are glad you took that step? But Peter didn't just say believe and repent. Peter went on to say, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. And by the way, that's how they did it in the Bible. They always immersed and they always did it in the name of Jesus Christ. And then he said, and you shall receive the gift. Don't we love gifts at Christmas? There's no greater gift than the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So I want to invite you to stand. There's already two that have told us that they're going to be baptized. So baptism team, I want you to go get ready. If you're being baptized, I want you to go to the room on your right, my left. And if there's anybody else, you're a believer that's never been baptized, we'll baptize you here today, amen? We got towels, we got t-shirts, we got robes, we got shorts, we got whatever you need, amen? We'll baptize, and we got a baptistry. Woo, you can take a bath in that water right there. Praise God. Come on, somebody's making a new start. wasn't one of the two. Amen. Come on. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. And then Peter replied and said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So here's my invitation today. First of all, number one, if you've never believed and repented, the first thing you need to do is to respond to the Spirit by repenting of your sins and inviting Christ into your life. Again, there's no magic words to repeat. It's about you and Jesus asking Him to forgive your sins and inviting Him into your life. And if you've already taken that step, I rejoice with you. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the angels rejoice when one sinner comes to a place of repentance, amen? But if you've already done that, you've never been water baptized, why wait till 2026 when you can close 2025? Come on, somebody. There's another. You know what I love about Life Church? We don't got to get you on the schedule. We don't, come on, you can just do it when you're ready to do it. You can be baptized. But then for the, y'all going to be baptized? Praise God. Go ahead. Praise God. Woo! Come on, we don't need to have an evangelist to have revival. Revival's here. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Pastor Rodney, James, y'all might need to go help them. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, you're so good. And the last part of this invitation is, if you're a believer, if you're a baptized believer, but you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, amen, God can fill you. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go home, read Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. Read the book of Romans, amen. God will fill you with His power. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Pastor, I'm struggling to quit smoking. Have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Pastor, I'm struggling with my addictions. Have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost fire? Amen? Because God will help you. So I'm going to invite this altar and I'm going to invite you to come. If you want to be baptized, go to the room to my left and your right. Amen. But for the rest of you, as they begin to sing, if you want to step out, and again, I want to bring your attention right back to the heart of this message. God had me change my sermon yesterday to tell somebody who's hurting and grieving and lonely that the Comforter is right here with you. And if that's you, I just want you to lift your hands, come from where you are, lift your hands, say, God, I receive your comfort. I receive your peace. I receive your grace. Would you come? This team's going to begin to sing. This altar's open. Come on, would you come right now?
Standing on your faithfulness, your faithfulness.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, God, 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 I need you. Oh, God, God, God,
hallelujah.
That's
good. Lord, I need your comfort. I need your strength.
Yeah.
upon the profession of your faith and obedience to the Lord, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins.
Hostage. If you need to leave, I'm going to let you go. But if you're able to stay and rejoice with us as we baptize these other candidates, there's several still back there. We'll do that. But I want to give you the liberty to go home if you need to. But can we all pray together? Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we recognize your presence is with us. Not just in the high moments, not just on the mountaintops, not just in the peaks, but you're there in the valleys. You're there in the dark places. you're there in the shadows. When we need you most, but sometimes think we feel you the least, we know you're there. And I thank you that you're my comfort and my strength. So today, God, as we close this service, I pray and I ask you, Lord, especially for those that are hurting or struggling during the holidays, help them, Lord, to know that they are not alone. Help them to know that not only are you with them, but there's a church family that loves them. The body of Christ, we're here for each other. And Lord, I just ask for supernatural strength and blessing. I pray that your spirit would come alongside those that are hurting and just give them your assurance that you're with them. You are the Prince of Peace. Speak peace into their troubled lives. Speak peace into their hearts and give them strength for the journey. In Jesus' name.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.